You're listening to Gerald Fleury and the Key of David on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
Greetings, everyone. I want to talk to you today about the two greatest crises in this world, in this end time. And the most earth-shaking truth about this is it all revolves, they both revolve around a physical building that is prophesied to be here in your own Bible. Now, can you believe that? Can you believe that God would talk about the two greatest crises on this earth and show that it all revolves around a physical building that was prophesied to be here in this end time with a rather dramatic message? Can you believe that God would get that specific and that detailed in Bible prophecy? You won't find another church that really gets into prophecy and the Bible in such a detailed way as we do. You simply won't see that. Most churches don't even talk much at all about Bible prophecy, which comprises 1/3 of your Bible. And they have virtually nothing to say about it. But what is most earth-shaking and shocking to me is right in the midst of these two greatest crises, that it all revolves around a physical house with, of course, a message that is very much needed in this world. So we'll start in Haggai chapter 2. Haggai 2 and verse 23 says it's in that day, and you'll see that many times in the Bible, and it always means in that day just before the Messiah's coming. It always means that. So it's an end time message, but let's begin in Haggai 2 and verse 7. Verse 7, "And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come." So there's good news too. "And I will fill this house with glory, says the Eternal of hosts." So here's that first crisis, and it is a world crisis. God is shaking all nations, and it's already started. And it's going to intensify dramatically in the near future. You watch it and see if that doesn't happen. It begins at a specific and dramatic time that has to do with a physical house. That's what your Bible says. Notice Haggai 2 and verse 9. "The glory of this latter house," that's spiritual, "shall be greater than of the former, says the Eternal of hosts. And in this place," here's the physical, "will I give peace, says the Eternal of hosts." So that in that this place is physical, but when you're talking about this latter house is going to be have greater glory than the former, this goes back to the time when they were building the second temple, and they were told by Haggai, well, this latter house is going to be greater than the former, which certainly couldn't apply to the second temple because it wasn't even remotely as wonderful and as spectacular as Solomon's temple, the first temple. So this has to be talking spiritually. And of course, God is talking about the temple in the end time, which is His church, His begotten sons. They are the temple of God spiritually. And your Bible states that in several times in the New Testament and the Old Testament. So there's nothing that compares to the Father's family. That's the greatest temple of all by far. And I think we can understand that. But notice it, where it says, "in this place," the meaning in Hebrew defines it as a physical place. "In this place," God says, "I will give peace." I will give peace in this place, in this physical house. And that's what it says. We'll certainly prove all that to you with our booklet on Haggai. If you don't have a copy, we'll send it to you and explain all this to you in even more detail. But in this verse, God is discussing the spiritual and the physical house. And that is why the "in this place" is added. God wants to make it very clear that there's also a physical place or a physical house, but with a very spiritual message, of course. And it, "in this place" is in the present tense. That means when this place is here, there's a dramatic work of God occurring on this earth. And God opens up all kinds of doors to get that message out to the world from this physical house. So God has begun to shake all nations. Now He's going to begin, and He has begun, with three nations of Israel, the birthright nations and the scepter nation. And you can read that about that in our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy. If you don't have a copy, please request it. And all of our literature is free. But these three nations are all involved in a war against terror, and they have all kinds of problems, crises in their nations. And it revolves around drugs and race and weather and pornography and upside down families and crime and just about every pathology you can imagine. We are afflicted by it. And what does that all mean? And what does that have to do with the physical house? Well, this is a world crisis, and God is just getting started and shaking all nations. You can see about the chemical use of chemicals, chemical warfare in Syria, where people are being killed. Maybe 1,000 people were just recently killed, and that they're in that incendiary Middle East. And it's about to explode all around the little nation called Israel. Egypt is in a civil war, and that's a major threat to the little nation of Israel. And Germany is moving into the Middle East quietly. Germany and the European Union is moving in and filling the vacuum that has been left by a very weak America. And that is causing all of these problems to multiply. And we're now seeing that Russia and China are in a kind of a Cold War mode, like they were in the past against America and Britain and the Jewish nation in the Middle East. So God is shaking the nations. And imagine what is so shocking about this, that it all revolves around a physical building from which there is a major message of great importance emanating from that building. The solution to this world crisis revolves around that building of all things. Now that's Bible prophecy. This is just phenomenal when you think about it. How could God get so detailed and even minute in explaining all of this to us? Is that the way you understand Bible prophecy? Do you really believe, as Christ said, that we ought to live by every word of God? Every word? And when He said that, incidentally, there was only the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible extant at that time. But in Haggai 2 in verse 9, it talks about the peace in that house. Peace in that house. Violence all around the world, but there's peace in that house. And a message of peace that is being proclaimed around the world from that house. And you can prove all this. This is not something that's that difficult to prove. We've been doing it for quite a long time, for years, but there is this physical house, and it's like an oasis out in the desert. There is a way to solve all these problems you see in the world, but nobody knows how. Isaiah 59 and verse 8 says, the way of peace they know not. But in this physical house, there is peace, God says. There is peace, and there's a message of peace proclaimed from this house. Where is it? And that really makes your Bible and Bible prophecy come alive like nothing else could when you get into it in that much striking detail. It's just really, really stunning the way God talks about and how He delivers His message of prophecy. But this shaking, this world shaking is just going to... Now you watch and you see if what I say isn't true. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse and worse until we understand and change our ways, and that's going to lead right into the coming of the Messiah. And He's going to solve these problems all around the world and bring peace to this world that it's always sought and never been able to achieve. The history of man is the history of war, as Winston Churchill said. It's all about war. Why can't we have peace? With all this knowledge that we have, why can't we have peace? Well, we should have, and God shows us how. But you can see that if He didn't return and if He didn't come back to this earth, there would be no flesh saved alive, according to Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. And those are Christ's own words. His own words. But who talks about those words and that prophecy today? Who really gets into that? And if they don't, well, why don't they? If they're saying that they follow Christ, which is what a Christian is, right? We must follow our leader. But God shakes men until they repent. So you just get used to the reality of God shaking the nations, and that's not going to be pleasant. It's going to be unpleasant in many ways, but we can get away from that individually by just repenting and turning to God and having His protection and having His way of escape when the real crisis explodes. God says He will protect us. And this is all just utterly astounding when you think about it. I mean, this is prophecy presented in such a dramatic way that it's really difficult to comprehend. It's really very inspiring, though, because you see the end result, which is just outstandingly wonderful. But I wrote in the Haggai booklet that there's peace in this place, and the context clearly tells us that there's a physical house on earth where God gives peace as He shakes the nations. They're there side by side, all this shaking of the nations, and yet there is a physical place where there is peace and a message of peace that we could all be enjoying. And a peace that we could all have. That house is a dreadful warning to this world, and at the same time, it's a wonderfully inspiring message of hope because it tells us how we can all have peace and get rid of these racial problems and wars and riots and violence that plagues us all the time, and it's getting much worse. You can see that as well as I can. God is placing a strong emphasis on this house. It's just staggering when you think about it. How could it not just really galvanize us into action? It should. The message going out from that house is going to get this world's attention. Believe it or not, it is. It's prophesied to do so. And you wait and see if it doesn't happen exactly as I say. But this house is a beacon of hope. And at the same time, it's a sign of world upheaval. It's a sign of that. Now, there are other scriptures I could get into, many others, but I just want to focus here on two prophecies about this physical house. There is another crisis that's bigger than the one that I just talked to you about. And that is a crisis within God's own church that God talks about. And that crisis, where 50% of God's own people are going to lose their eternal lives. That's why that crisis is of such magnitude. 50% of them, another 50% are going to, of 95% of God's people, are going to go into that nuclear tribulation and have to repent there. But they don't have to wait until that. They could, that time, they could repent now, and God would give them this peace and protect them and look after them. That's what God does. But it all of that revolves around this same physical house and same spiritual message. Now, that is a mind-shattering prophecy. Any way you look at it, and we all desperately need to understand. Let me read you something from Zechariah 3 and verse 8. God just says there that He will bring forth My servant, the branch, capital B. That's the Messiah. It gives you time, a time frame here in all of these prophecies. It's just before the coming of the Messiah. He's about to come, and this dates it. And it talks about the physical house I'm going to get into in just a moment. But all of this will be, this detail will be explained in our booklet on Zechariah, which we will send you if you just request it. But again, can we read the sign? It talks about Joshua and his fellows are a sign that the Messiah is about to come. Now, you can know what that's all about if you read this booklet. I don't have time to get into it today, but let me read you just a little of what I wrote in the booklet. This booklet on Zechariah, what is an ephah? It talks about an ephah in the verses 5 through 7 of Zechariah 5 that goes forth. But what is an ephah? Now, this is an end time book as well. Remember that. An ephah is used 27 times in the Bible as a technical device for measuring grain. However, wheat is not being measured here. A woman is being measured. And then if you look at the story, it actually, the woman becomes two women. There's a split in the church. 95% of God's people rebel against God just before the Messiah comes, of all things. You'd never expect that. But it's about wickedness, and it's about a little remnant that's righteous and happened to be a part and the ones proclaiming that message from that physical house. But anyhow, in verses 9 through 11 it says, "Then lifted I up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women." There was a church split. And it lifted up the ephah, it says, and a little further down it says, "Where do these bear the ephah?" And he said unto me, "To build it an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her base." This is a physical house. And there are two women here, a woman being a symbol of God's church in many places. It's taught in the Bible. But this is an end time event. So, where are they taking the ephah to the land of Shinar to build a house for it? The Revised Standard Version says, "And when this is prepared, they will set the ephah down on its base." So it's talking about a physical house and a split between God's church. The one woman becomes two women. And that's a great crisis when you look at it spiritually. You see this world crisis. Those people, most all of them, don't know God and will have a chance to know God through the resurrection and other ways, perhaps even before then. But these people are people that knew God and know Him, perhaps somewhat still. But notice what the Interpreter's Bible says about that house, that is a temple, is to be built for the ephah measure. See, but the Bible commentaries can see that to some degree this is prophecy about a physical house, and there's measuring going on. There's a measuring of God's little remnant because the rest of them won't let God measure them. But it's about being measured spiritually in this end time. And you can see why that's such a crisis. 50% of those 95% that rebel never, ever come back to God. That's a terrible tragedy to a father who has these sons and daughters in his family. Barnes' note says, a house or temple was to be built for it, for its honor and glory. It just means built for the truth, built for the Bible, built for the understanding that that comes out of that house. It's really not as complicated as you might think, and you can understand it easily with this booklet on Zechariah. And let me tell you, it is a dynamically alive book about prophecy that will shock you in many ways and inspire you in a thousand ways. The Anchor Bible says the word temple, the Hebrew word for house, is used as a designation for a divine residence. Lang's commentary says this house will give the ephod a permanent habitation. Or in that house is the revealed truth of God, the Bible revealed, the Bible that God says we ought to live by, every single word of it is in that house. That's what it's all about. That house is a physical house that proclaims God's message to the world, and it is a sign that God is already shaking the nations. It's already in process. It's already in train and being done and carried out, and will continue until the Messiah comes. This house is a sign that many of God's people failed to deliver God's message, and it's a sign that there is peace, being a way of peace being taught to this world, and that way of peace is about to fill this earth with joy and happiness and abundant prosperity and all kinds of blessings. It sends a message of peace to this world, and it is a work of faith. We have to have faith and believe God. Believe every word. This house is a sign that the Messiah is coming, and He's going to really implement the plan and give peace to this world like it's never, ever had before. But this is all prophecy, and all these two great crises, the crisis in God's church and the crisis in the world, it all revolves around a physical house with a mighty message. A message of joy and peace and wonder and inspiration beyond anything you've ever imagined. That's what this message is all about. That's what it means to us today, but it's a little small remnant of God's people. And God always, always shows us the way of peace and hope. I mean, that message is just, that building is just a beacon of hope. Now, you can, if you want to look at the New Testament, I'll just give you this scripture, Revelation 11, verse 1. It says there that there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar and them that worship therein. So there is a measuring process. That's what that ephod is all about. The New Testament teaches the same thing. This is not something that is just in the Old Testament. It is in both the New and the Old Testament, as we call them. And then even you can look at in that Zechariah 3, 4, 5, it's all one vision, and see that there's an inset there. And Zerubbabel had a plummet that he measured with, that he measured how he built spiritually. There's always a measuring. If we're going to obey God, we're going to have to let Him measure us. We're going to have to be measured by the Bible, the wonderful truth of God, if we're going to be able to build the mind and character of God and qualify to rule with Jesus Christ when He gets here on this earth. Now that is what is at stake. And it all revolves around that physical house and that powerful message that emanates from that house to the entire world, to most of the world. That's what this is all about, and it is something that we desperately need to understand, and we need to understand it right now, today. It is so very urgent. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
For more information on today's program, we have three booklets that we'd like to send you for free. These booklets will give you in-depth understanding of Zechariah, Haggai, and Lamentations. As you heard on today's program, God prophesied of a physical place or house where His message would emanate from. While the world continues to shake with more and more violence, God promises peace in this place. Jesus Christ is the living head of His true church. He speaks to it through new revelation. God has now revealed a physical sign which shows that He has started shaking the nations. He won't stop until every person on earth knows the true God. At the same time, God's very elect are going to have an inspiring, joyful experience beyond what man can even imagine, concluded by the greatest event ever to occur in the universe, the return of Jesus Christ. These three booklets will be sent to you free of charge with no cost or obligation. It's free and invaluable information that you can't afford to be without. Operators are standing by to take your request. You'll also be sent a free subscription to our news magazine, The Philadelphia Trumpet. The Trumpet continues to help you understand your world by looking at today's most relevant headlines in light of Bible prophecy. Please visit us online at thetrumpet.com for daily columns and videos. Don't miss our latest issue with Gerald Fleury's article, The Mystery of the Royal British Throne. Request our three free booklets that will give you in-depth understanding of Zechariah, Haggai, and Lamentations. You'll also be sent a free subscription to our news magazine, The Philadelphia Trumpet. All our literature is free. Order your free literature now. To request the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. Again, that's 1-800-339-7629. To watch the program online, visit us at keyofdavid.com.